Welcome to Bristol Radio, your one-stop shop for all things audio from Bristol Motor Speedway and Dragway.
Hey everybody, welcome in to another edition of A Race Weekend Update. I'm Caitlin Vincey, coming to you from the Bristol Motor Speedway Facebook page. So happy to have you joining us today to share your thoughts on all things Roval following two very, very eventful races out at Charlotte Motor Speedway on the road course configuration known as the Roval. As I begin every single one of these, I encourage you guys to send your thoughts, share your opinions on what you saw on the race weekend, whether it was in the Xfinity Series or the Monster Energy Cup Series. Would love to know what you guys thought. So join in on the conversation as we go along. Share with me where you're watching from today, where you're tuning in from. We always get people all across, really all different areas, tuning in with us on the Bristol Motor Speedway Facebook page. So always curious where the fans are tuning in from. Let's go ahead and get right into things. The Roval race, you know, as you guys probably are well aware, the Roval, this is only the second year that we have had this racetrack in operation on the Xfinity and Cup circuit. And basically Marcus Smith, who oversees Charlotte Motor Speedway, kind of came up with this idea to just sort of be innovative and make something a little bit different for the competitors and for the series at such a critical time in the NASCAR season, which is, of course, the playoffs. So I saw where he kind of got with some people like Mario Andretti, Max Pappas, and helped him kind of create this road course race out at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And he leaned on these guys for some insights, some of the best road course racers in the business to help develop this racetrack. It changed a little bit from year one to year two in terms of the backstretch chicane. So they did make some adjustments and some changes to the racetrack that they had hoped was going to increase passing in those particular areas on the racetrack. So we always, as media members, look forward to the Roval race. We have the last 2 years because the first year was such a success in terms of the viewership and the fans that were coming out. So we're really excited to kind of see how the Roval race played out for a second time. And an elimination race for the Cup Series, it doesn't get much better than that. There was so much on the line for so many teams, and I felt like these races definitely delivered. So who of you all that is watching right now are fans of AJ Allmendinger? Because I have noticed over the years, he seems to be a pretty big fan favorite. People just seem to really like him as a person, respect him as a racer. And in the Xfinity Series on Saturday afternoon, he went out there with Colleague Racing and got it done, earning his third career win, all of those coming on different types of road courses. So he is definitely one of the best when it comes to that type of racing. And I felt like after he got the victory, he was pretty emotional in some regards, talking about how it had been difficult as of late for him. Of course, everyone's probably familiar with the fact that he used to race in the Monster Energy Cup Series for JTG Doherty Racing. He's no longer with them, and he's been out of the car this season, but he's been filling in here and there for Colleague on these road course races, trying to help that race organization get a win. And sure enough, he was able to do so out at the Roval. Joe Crowell is tuning in. He says, good race this past weekend. I will be in Dover this weekend. Of course, Joe is referring to the Dover race that's coming up in just a couple of days that is next on the circuit. Other people say they're tuning in from West Virginia, all over the areas. People are tuning in, which is great. People are commenting good win for Chase Elliott. We will talk a lot about Chase Elliott in just a moment. But I want to go back to obviously Colleague Racing, their big victory out at the Roval for AJ Allmendinger. I was personally really happy to see that because I think AJ's a great guy, great competitor, certainly always strong at road courses. So good for him. There were a number of playoff drivers who did have issues within this race. Cole Custer was a stage two winner, but he had a backup in his pit box leaving on lap 42. He also spun on a lap 44 restart. So not really the day that Cole Custer would have liked to have seen. The two of Tyler Reddick missed the backstretch chicane from second on lap one, which put him into 22nd. Tyler Reddick obviously has been one of the strongest competitors all season long in the Xfinity Series. But missing the backstretch chicane was sort of a theme of both races, I realized, in the Xfinity and Cup side. That happened a lot. One of the bigger incidents between two playoff contenders was the 20 of Christopher Bell and the 98 of Chase Briscoe. They missed the chicane while they were fighting for second position on lap 57. So I heard some of Christopher Bell's comments post-race saying he didn't feel like this sort of situation with Chase Briscoe. Those two are friends. They're both dirt racers. They come from a similar background. He said, I don't really think that this will pose a problem in the future moving forward. But obviously both drivers in the hunt for a title. There's always a lot on the line. Next week at Dover, which you guys have already mentioned, is the cutoff race for the Xfinity Series to move on to the next round. So certainly those drivers don't want to have issues and things kind of bubbling over into the next race. And hopefully avoid any conflicts coming up that could prevent them from moving on. The top five out at the Roval ended up being AJ Allmendinger, Tyler Reddick, Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier, and Noah Gragson. The guys who are currently below the cut line for the Xfinity Series are John Hunter Nemechek. He is 11 points back. Brandon Jones, also 11 points back. Ryan Sieg, 37 points back. And Justin Haley, 39. Those guys way, way below the cut line are essentially in a must-win situation going to Dover. Once you're 30 plus points back, that's pretty much what you're going to be up against when it comes to the elimination race. Scott Treadway is saying, hello from Marshall, North Carolina. Another North Carolina resident joining us this morning here on the Bristol Motor Speedway Facebook page. Thank you for joining. As I mentioned, Dover is next for the Xfinity Series. That will be a cutoff race, so it'll be interesting to see how things continue to play out on that side of things. The Cup Series, I don't even know where to begin on this on this race because there was action all throughout the course of the weekend from drivers spinning in practice, going to backup cars, spinning and qualifying. Our eventual race winner, Chase Elliott, had a terrible qualifying effort, spun in qualifying. But I want to start with Chase Elliott because I know there's probably a lot of Chase Elliott fans who are tuning in since he has been NASCAR's most popular driver since Dale Jr. gave up that title. But what a really cool moment for Chase Elliott and his team because he had issues in this race. As I mentioned, before the race even began with qualifying, the situation where he actually ran into the wall there at the restart after he'd led all those laps, you could tell after the race he was just very frustrated with himself for making that mistake because he'd had such a fast car and the guys had been getting it done on pit road and everything had kind of been going the way he had hoped. But he was a little bit hard on himself, I felt like, after the race, saying he was angry at himself. He couldn't believe he made that mistake. What a rookie mistake that it was. So he said, I was in kill mode, was the quote I heard him tell SiriusXM to go after that victory. And the cautions fell out the right way for that team a lot. But he has really grown into such a strong road course racer. And I was listening to team owner Rick Hendricks speaking, as well as Bill Elliott, his father, who's one of the more iconic individuals in this sport, saying how the road course racing has really taken, obviously, to Chase Elliott's driving style. He's become so strong on those type of tracks, which is really neat. Obviously, the last road course of the season was the Roval, so we won't have any more of those moving forward. But Joe is adding, great comeback by Chase. His 9 team definitely has the road courses figured out as far as speed in the car. I certainly would agree with that. That was Chase's third win so far this year. His burnout was fantastic because he went to the point on the racetrack where he had hit the wall and did the burnout up against it. One of the coolest burnouts and celebrations I've seen all season long. So Rick Hendrick was saying too, what a great guy Chase Elliott is. His crew chief, Alan Gustafson, was also speaking on SiriusXM saying how he's just laser focused. The maturity that he shows for his age is just above and beyond. And I think you definitely see that with this young competitor. And I felt like we did see him show a little bit more of his personality following this race, a little more vocal than just the traditional Chase Elliott interviews that we've seen, which was really cool to see him show a little bit more personality, a little more fired up. Obviously, he was in a good position points-wise anyway to advance on to the next round, but of course, getting the win is always great because you get those extra points, and it's just momentum for the race team moving forward. So plenty of that for Chase Elliott and company. But the rest of the race was very eventful for the playoff contenders. And the whole time you're sort of watching that cut line moving around, Eric Almirola is in, then he's out, you know, Ryan Newman's in, then he's out. And it was stressful to watch as a media member because I'm frantically writing pages and pages of notes trying to keep up with everything that's happening within this race. And the problems even began way early on, as I mentioned, for one of the guys who is advancing on, Alex Bowman and the 88 team at Hendrick Motorsports, in the final minutes of practice, he had a big incident, hit the wall, had to go to a backup car, meaning he would have to start at the rear of the field. So that's a pretty big undertaking when you have to start at the rear of the field at a road course. And the troubles didn't end there for Alex Bowman. Lap one, he had a spin entering the chicane, flat spotted his tires. He was forced to pit after that incident. Then on lap 23, he had a crash in turn one on the restart. Lap 40, he spun the 43 car of Bubba Wallace battling for 15th. He ended up finishing second and he ended up making it into the playoffs. But I feel like this situation with Bubba Wallace is almost overshadowing the fact that he is moving on in the playoff hunt. What did you guys think of this? Because we were able to get some clarity on the situation from Alex Bowman following the race, saying that Bubba Wallace has kind of been on a tear the last couple of race weekends, flipping him off from inside the car for multiple laps on end, and Alex Bowman saying he was just tired of it. So pretty clear he wrecked Bubba Wallace on purpose. And after the race, Alex Bowman visibly either dehydrated or something from the extreme heat levels that were out at Charlotte Motor Speedway yesterday. He was sitting outside the car getting some attention from medical personnel when Bubba Wallace came up and threw water in his face. A lot of people didn't agree with this and people were upset by this. What do you guys think? So I would love to know what the fans are thinking right now about the situation between Bubba and Alex Bowman. Who was in the right and who was in the wrong? I think obviously you can make a case probably for both arguments as always. But hearing Alex's backstory on what's kind of been transpiring for the last couple of races, I guess that sort of explains Alex's position that he was in on the racetrack and why he did what he did. Pretty interesting, but big moment for Alex Bowman. 300 cars moving on to the next round of the playoffs with Chase Elliott, obviously virtue of the win, William Byron and Alex Bowman making it in on points. Eric Jones, who heated up so much throughout the course of the summer months, he finds himself on the outside looking in. He had a crash in turn one on lap 23, had a hole in the radiator that pretty much ended his day. Certainly not what the 20 team would have anticipated when they started the playoffs. They just had a string of bad luck in three races, and that's truly all it takes. If you don't have a good points buffer and you don't have those kind of mulligans built into your season, this is what happens. But I was pretty surprised to see Eric Jones already eliminated. I wasn't in the sense that after the first two races occurred in the first round of the playoffs, he was in essentially a must-win situation, but I was surprised to see how his round one played out. Kyle Busch had a flat tire after contact with the 42 car of Kyle Larson. He ended up 37th. Actually, just parked the car in the garage area during that red flag. They had nothing to gain at that point, so that was the decision process there that happened between Kyle Busch and his crew chief, Adam Stevens. Denny Hamlin had spins on lap 23 and on lap 92, running 16th. He ended up 19th on the day. Kurt Busch in the one car had front-end damage on lap 23 after a restart. He is out for moving on to the next round. Ryan Newman, what an up and down day it was trying to keep up with what happened to him. Stalled the car on pit road. He was collected in a spin on lap 92 with the 11 car and 47. He also missed the chicane while being just 1 point above the cut line. And that was pretty much it for him. Chris Lorente saying, go Clint Bowyer. Haven't mentioned him yet, but he is moving on to the next round. So that's one guy who actually was able to make it through the melee and is moving on to round two of the playoffs. But Ryan Newman saying post-race he was still extremely proud of the efforts of his team and everything they were able to accomplish in the playoffs when a lot of people maybe had written them off to not be able to advance on. It was announced earlier this past week that Ricky Stenhouse Jr. will no longer be with Roush Fenway Racing in 2020 and beyond. Instead, occupying that 17 car next season will be Chris Buescher, moving over from his team at JTG Darty Racing. Big surprise in the racing world. Obviously, Ryan Newman is his teammate. A lot of people were talking about that throughout the course of the weekend as well. Where will Ricky Stenhouse Jr. land? Why did this happen? It was an announcement that seemed to take the entire industry by surprise. But moving back to the playoff picture, the drivers who were eliminated after Sunday are Eric Almirola, Kurt Busch, Eric Jones, and Ryan Newman. Your 12 drivers who are advancing on to the next round are Martin Truex Jr., Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, Clint Bowyer, Ryan Blaney, William Byron, and Alex Bowman. So there you have it. Those are the 12 drivers who have made it on, who are going to make a run for the championship in this next round, which is comprised of Dover, Talladega, and Kansas. So you have a mile racetrack, a super speedway, and a mile and a half. A good variety of racetracks to certainly test the strength of these race teams. For me as a media person, it's going to be a very busy week. In just a few minutes, I'm leaving here, heading over to Joe Gibbs Racing to interview Martin Truex Jr., who we know has had a really strong round one and also has been very good at Dover in the past, his home track. Then I'll be interviewing William Byron as well at Hendrick Motorsports tomorrow. Those segments will be airing on Race Hub this week on Wednesday and Thursday. On Thursday morning, I will be on SiriusXM alongside Daniel Trotta for Off Track at 11 a.m. On Sunday, you can catch our pre-race show at 12:30 Eastern on FS1, getting you ready for the Monster Mile of Dover. So it is a full week, full board for all of us media members as the playoffs continue on. This is the best part of the season, I think, for a media member because there's so much happening. So much is changing. There's silly season rumors. There's people getting eliminated. There's teams who are rising to the occasion. So it's going to be fun to see how this next round plays out. Once again, I appreciate all of you guys for joining me here on the Bristol Motor Speedway Facebook page. We look forward to another edition, same place, same time next week on Monday at 12 Eastern, right here on Facebook. We will see you guys then. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening. Like Bruton always says, we work for the fans, and we like making sports and entertainment fun here at Bristol. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, we'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with all of your friends on all your favorite social media channels. Like, follow, or tag BMS Updates so we can join in on the fun too. It's Bristol, baby.